Hey guys, it's Michelle Collins. Welcome to the Michelle Collins Show. It's my show, and I'm thrilled you're here. We're going to be bringing you episodes every single week with different co-hosts, the same usual nonsense, off-the-cuff humor, news, advice, pop culture. I know it's a novel concept for a podcast, but what can I say? I'm an innovator. That's what I do. You'll be getting episodes every week, but if you want to hear daily episodes, you can head over to my Patreon. That's www.patreon.com/MishCall, MichColl. I have co-hosts every single day. It's funny. It's loose. It's authentic. I do weekly episodes with my mother. If you're curious as to how someone is made this way, I highly recommend tuning into those and some video content as well, which is exciting. I'm off to contour, but I want you to enjoy this episode. It's fabulous. We adore you and we look forward to seeing you over on the Patreon. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new midnight snack, unless you're listening to this, not this week, in which case it's old. It's Michelle Collins. Killer intro, as always. I'm here live with Dan Acton. Hi, Dan.
Morning, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You just choked down a sandwich. We're ready to record.
Thank you for bringing up the fact that I choked down a sandwich. I know you were on the edge of your seat. Like, when can I talk about it? Yes, Dan, I did. Actually, I'm glad you brought it up because I got a sandwich from a place that I sort of boycotted a little bit, which is called Joe and the Juice. I'm sure you know it well.
Yeah, I do know.
Do you ever
That's
go
like
there?
A London thing, right?
No, they have them
in
New York.
I've seen it in London, so.
They're all over New York.
I only saw it in London, so I think of it like. Okay.
I'll tell you who loves them in New York is who actually got me hooked on them is my dear friend, Sarah Jessica Parker, who one time in New York Magazine talked about how she was addicted to the spicy Toonie Sandies. And so, of course, I tried it, loved it. And then something happened. And I don't know. I'm sure this happens to you with food. I'll get on a kick where I eat something constantly. Like I'm like, oh, I'm craving it. And then something happens that's disgusting with it or something mentally changes. Where all of a sudden you're like, I'll never eat another one of these things again.
Right.
And with the Joe and the Juice, I'll tell you what happened. I remember what I did, which is that I thought the tuna salad that goes in it, if you want to call it salad, it's really more of a tuna slop that goes in it. Mm-hmm. I thought was so delicious and they had a salad option. So, you know me, I'm always hacking the system. I figured, let me get a salad with it with no other ingredients so that I basically just have like a pound of their tuna salad. That way I can make the sandwich whenever I want. Thinking ahead. Smart. I did it. I live very close to a Joe and the Juice. I am back in Amsterdam, which we'll talk about in a second, but I did it at that one and I went to pick it up and they still, for some reason, put like a shit ton of edamame beans in there, which I actually hate edamame. So I was just like, all right, all these edamame beans.
It's like filler. Yeah.
Filler. But then seeing the tuna like outside of the sandwich and seeing how this is so nauseating. I'm so sorry to open the show with this, but just seeing how it just has no, it's not a liquid. It's not a gas. It's not a solid. I don't know what it is. I think they've invented a new medium to transfer matter because it's nothing I've ever seen. And seeing it just loose in this container. I was off of it for good. I honestly have not had it since. And the only reason why I caved today is because I ran some errands. I got back. I'll tell you about my travel day, but I got back to Amsterdam yesterday. And today is my big, you know, errand day. I had to drop a prescription off and like do all these little things. So I was busy, busy bee. And coming back to record with you, I was starving. I had no food in the house. I figured today's the day I'm going to get a Joe and the Juice sandwich. It's been probably 7 months since I've had one.
We're back. Yeah.
We're back because I was so hungry and it's the only food option. One thing about this town, it's not like in New York or London where you have takeaway. You can walk in and do a to-go sandwich, be about your day. It doesn't exist here. So it's one of the few places you can really just do a pickup. So I did an online order and I go in and they're like, Michelle. And I was like, it's me. And I got a tuna sandwich and a flat white. And they were like, we don't have any mint. And I said, well, that's okay. I don't need any. Like, there's no mint involved in any of the things I ordered, you know? And she looked at me and she's like, well, we don't.
I have my own problems.
And I went, no, that's fine. She goes, it's okay. And I was like, mint? Why would I need mint? You know, I just was so confused. And she went, milk. I said, oh, milk.
Oh.
I said, oh, that's fine. Like, use another kind of milk. I don't really, I'm not like a milk freak, you know, just whatever kind of milk is fine. So she made me, knowing I'm going to take it. And we were very friendly up until that point, knowing I was going to take it to go. She basically put a flat white in an espresso cup, brimming, like spilling over the edge of the cup. I'm thinking, you fucking bitch, I'm about to walk with this. Clearly, it's a to-go order. I think that when baristas do that, it is an act of aggression, yes or no. And I said, can you just pour it in a bigger cup? And they wouldn't. Yeah. They looked at me. I said, well, what? This is why I don't get your slop. This is why I won't eat your slop. Goodbye. So anyway, I have it in front of me now, but I had to walk. Then I said, okay, you won't give me a bigger cup. Can I get some napkins? Because I got to walk, you know? Right. And she like really scowled, but I did get some napkins. But I'm thinking, girl, don't brim it. Anyway, what do you think? Thoughts on the tuna slop?
I mean, so you went back and got the actual spicy tuna again?
No, this was already, thank God my sandwich had already been made. So,
oh, good. Oh,
so okay. You know, we were all good to go. Once the coffee, actually the coffee tastes delish. Once the coffee was done with, I went about my day, came home, here we are. But I have to tell you something funny that happened to me yesterday, and please do not report me to the Dutch government. I beg you. Mm-hmm. You have to promise, listeners, you're not going to report me to the Dutch government. I know, part of me is like, should I even tell this story? Dan, when I'm done, tell me if I should keep it in or not. I'm serious. Because okay. You never know. So when I was in America, which I was there for a few weeks, and I had a nice enough time. I was ready to go. Although we'll get to what it's like to be back in a second. But one of the things, my laptop had basically broken. It was only about 3 years old, but it just was crawling. I work on it every day. I thought, all right, it's time. I need to upgrade to a new one.
Right.
And it's cheaper to buy them in the US than here by like a few hundred dollars. Yeah, much cheaper. Okay. So that's why I wanted to do it while I was there. Not to mention the keyboard is better. You know, it's just, it's American, which is what I am. So anyway, I bought it and I had heard rumor that if you like declare it or something, that sometimes customs will make you pay taxes on it if they find out that you bought a new computer overseas.
Oh, well, right.
Right. Well, obviously I don't want them to know that, you know, like clearly. Yeah. So let me also add, I'm still American. I don't care what they say. I'm an American. So whatever. So anyway, I come back. And of course, because I also shopped, but not even that, like I needed a new suitcase because one of the ones I had was falling apart. So I bought a new luggage, which meant that I was traveling back with three suitcases plus my two little carry-ons. Okay. So it was a scene. Managed to get into my dad's car. He drove me to the airport. I checked in, connected in DC, which was actually nice because I splurged for the upgrade, which by the way, I always say United is great. You know, I'm always boasting United. I don't know what kind of plane I was on because it was a cheap upgrade, but it still cost me some money. But I wasn't a business class seat. It was the most uncomfortable business class seat I've ever been in my life. And I'd never had that before with United. So I don't know if I was on an older plane or, and by the way, I'm thinking if I were like a morbidly obese person paying the money to upgrade, there's no way they can fit in that seat. I actually don't understand what that seat even is because when it's fully lie flat, like when you put it down, my knees, and I'm like not such a, I'm long and I'm like not small, but I'm not God knows what. I could barely fit my knees like through the hole to put my feet in. I mean, that's unheard of.
Oh, it's like a little coffin. Like you have
it's
to put
a little,
your little
coffin. Mm-hmm. It's a little cubby for like from the knee down, you put your bottom legs in this cubby hole and then it lays flat. Nice. But they made it so small. And I'm going, I didn't sleep the entire flight. Anyway, like, but I was.
Where's the other one? Just for one leg.
I was like, this clearly. No. And by the way, there were some like bigger people in business. And I'm thinking, I'm pissed as it is, to be honest with you, because I'm thinking it wasn't cheap. Anyway, and you just have an assumption in business that like, I don't know, I'm going to be able to, you know, turn over while I'm laying down without slamming my knees into every corner of this thing, you know, which is what happened. So anyway, I love bitching about business class. It's really what I do best. Just so you know, the coffee's too full, the business, but it really was a small seat. So it's fine. So I don't sleep a wink. It was kind of, luckily it technically went by fairly quickly. So anyway, I get to the airport. Customs was passport super fast. That was nice. Get through. I was kind of upset because, you know, I love flirting in the lounge. It's like my favorite thing is I like put makeup on so that I would look pretty in the lounge. And I had a three
it's
hour
sexy.
Oh, yeah. It's sexy. Tell people about it. Like, why is it? It's just like everyone's traveling. Everyone's looking good. We're like drinking.
Everyone's traveling. And then, like, the lounge is like exclusive.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you have to, like, it's not the open airport. And there's a shower. So if anything happens, you just like freshen up.
Have you ever hooked up in a lounge shower?
No. Well, wait. No.
What do you mean if anything happens? What do you think is going on in the lounge? I mean, wait a minute.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, people are showering. Like,
no, I know, but it's not like you're making it sound like if someone like jerks you off under like that little cubby desk, you're like, then you can shower. I mean, okay. Yeah,
the jerk-off cubby is also way too small.
Tiny. I agree. Could barely get a knee into it. Let me get a knee into it. So, no, but anyway, so the lounge was actually really nice. And I had a schnitzel. The schnitzel was, hands down, one of the best schnitzels I've ever had in my life. Because they have like a restaurant there where you can order stuff, except it's like two things. It's kind of like on Hell's Kitchen, you know, when they have diners in Hell's Kitchen. But it's like, we have the grouper or the burger. Like, there's just two things you can get.
Right.
Like, the schnitzel. And I have to say, call the chef out. It was flavorful, crispy, hot. It was one of the best things I ate on my entire trip. I swear, I wish I was lying, but it really was good. So shout out to the chef at the Dulles Lounge who made my schnitzel. It was really good. But everyone was so sweet, but there was no one hot. I was really disappointed. There was not, no eyes shot at anyone. It was just kind of maybe because, you know, DC, I always feel like is a little lackluster. Because Newark always has something cooking, you know, Newark. But Newark is stress.
For sure.
Yeah, Newark has.
Well, Newark has all these like little booths now. There, I was noticing. I sound like I'm like sex obsessed, but they do. But they do have these like rental booths for like, you know, apparently.
You're
for,
like, I sound like I'm sex obsessed. You only sound that way, Dan. Go on.
Been a while. But I'm like, they have all these like little, you pay a dollar and you go into this like tiny booth that's supposedly for like breastfeeding or something, but it gives you privacy. I don't know. Like,
you're really fucked
there
up
are opportunities
sick. I'm just sorry. I have to get this on record that Dan is fucked up. I thought you were talking about like a nap pod, not where like lovely moms go to breastfeed and you're going to pay a buck to like hook up there. You know, you're fucked up. I actually really don't like that. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. I'm not sex shaming you. I'm pod shaming you. And I don't like that. So we'll just leave it at that. Let the mothers breastfeed in peace without worrying about what Grindr hookups are going on, you know, on off the clock. It's just, I think most people would agree with me. I hope.
All right. Well,
thank you. I love putting you in your place. That's my kink. Now, my kink is putting you in your place while you're getting hand jobs in the breastfeeding pod. I'm outside going, Dan, come on. Dan, stop.
That's beautiful. Mother is waiting.
Dan, look at this stunning mother. Please. She's leaking everywhere. Hurry it up.
That's not helping.
Look at this stunning mother. I'm always saying that. Doesn't matter where I am, frankly. No, so wait. So I get now past passport control by the luggage wheel, and it is right, and the airport is empty. It's around probably 8:30 in the morning yesterday. Airport is completely dead. And there's like four customs people. I've never even seen anyone there. Usually it's like, anything to declare? No, come on through. Like, they don't give a shit.
Right.
There were three people standing by the thing, and it was right where our luggage carousel is. And I'm thinking, first of all, I have the look of someone shady. Like, I look shady to begin with.
Was the laptop still in the box? Like, was it obvious? Or?
God, no. Oh my, no, what am I, dumb as shit?
Well,
No.
Yeah.
Laptop
was
in.
Just slap some Green Day stickers on the top of it, like make it look real old.
I had a Dole 96 sticker on there, just so they. I don't know. I was different back then. I was different in the 90s. That's so funny. Oh my God, Jefferson Airplane. I'm thinking, how far back should we go? What kind of stickers should I slap on? It's so stupid. Oh Lord. The Penny Farthing Festival, it's just gling, gling, like coming through. Big old, I'm like, sorry, I'm huge into the farthing games, the penny games. I go every year in Aspen. I'm so sorry. So wait, so I'm like, really, I'm trying to like remain calm, even though the only thing I'm worried about is the laptop. I bought a lot of clothing, but nothing like super expensive. I didn't buy anything other than that computer. Yeah. You know, it's like some jeans and stuff and like a dress, whatever.
Yeah. And this is a lie that takes like three words to say. So if you nail like nothing to declare, you're free, right?
Well, you would think so. And then I kept thinking, even if they were to pull me over, how could they prove that it was new? I mean, it just, well,
right.
Go on. I don't know. I don't know. Or that I even paid for it. What if someone bought it for me? You know, I don't know
exactly.
The rules on that. I think they can still fuck me on it, to be honest, but whatever. What, especially because the computer, this model came out, I think within the past month. So they'd be like, Vino, then the MacBook Pro 14. We're in Germany now and it's fine. So listen, so the wheel starts moving and here one by one come my bags and everyone looks at me. Whenever I've got three suitcases with me, people automatically, it's like walking with your mental illness, literal emotional baggage. People go, oh, this is someone who has some serious problems. And they're not wrong. But, oh, this is someone who they fill the void with things. And they're right. And I like that I can show that to people. But also because of my height and my long arms, I really get a kick out of just moving with that much stuff. Like I love, once I get that momentum going with the bags and I can really long foot it through the airport, nothing is better than that. As long as there's no carpeting, nothing is better than that. So I have all my things and I'm like, just play cool, Collins. Just look natural. Don't declare anything. Walk out the door. So I'm walking toward the thing. It's right there. And this woman goes, are you coming from DC? I said, yeah. She goes, stand in line. We're scanning everyone's bags. I'd never seen that before. Have you ever had that happen to
Come
you?
On. No, I've gotten like randomly selected to go through my bag on the way out.
Yeah, I've had that happen too.
Yeah.
What do you mean on the way? Oh, leaving. I see what you're saying. No.
Yeah,
this
leaving,
is like coming into the city. Well, one time famously at Newark, they pulled me over and I had a ham sandwich in my bag and they nearly threw me in jail. I was like, I forgot about it. So like, that's a true story. But I had no meats, no veggies, no fruits. So anyway, I'm standing in line and in front of me was this couple who actually flew with me. They must have been in Miami for Art Basel because she looked like Fred Armisen in a bob with Martin Scorsese glasses on. Skinny, nice lady, but like very avant-garde look. And then her husband or boyfriend was actually looked like Ray Romano, like just a regular looking schmo. And they're standing there with their things. And we said hi because they had been sitting behind me on the first leg of the race. So we were like, oh, hi, whatever. They put their bags down. Now I'm figuring out what makes the most sense because there's one guy going through the x-ray and they've already pulled people over to go through. Are you listening? So I'm like, oh, I'm fucked. This is, you know, it is what it is. I mean, if they charge me money, that's fine. I can't get out of it, obviously.
Sure, yeah.
So anyway, right. These people go in front of me. They put their bags down on this huge x-ray machine, you know, low one, big one. And I figure, let me put the laptop bag first, followed by my three huge luggages. I know that I say that wrong. Mm-hmm. That's just the order I decided to, let's get it out of the way, you know, in this way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put the laptop one first. Then I'm like hoisting these, you know, fucking travel pros on there. And I'm like tiptoeing around the machine. Like I'm so nervous, but I'm trying to look so blasé, you know, just relaxed. And the guy comes over, not the guy looking, but a different guy who works there comes over and grabs one of Fred Armisen's little wheelies. And he goes, you have a lot of books in here? You got books in here? And she went, yeah. And he goes, why do you have so many books? And she goes, I like to read. I'm joking. She went, I like to read. And he went, follow me. And took them.
What?
I swear on my life. And I'm watching this like, oh, they're literally going to put me in Dutch jail. Now I'm worried about the jeans. I bought a gown. I'm like, what?
Maybe there was some kind of like theft at the Library of Congress or something. Like, what's the high alert?
What is the high alert at the Library? Something's going. You know, you're funny, actually, maybe. Because she was like, I like to read, like what? And I'm kind of watching this in shock. And also, remember in the movie Total Recall when I don't know how well you know it, but when Arnold Schwarzenegger and I think Melina, they're in that hotel room with that kind of big bald guy, and he's trying to tell Arnold the lie, and then Schwarzenegger zooms in and there's a single bead of sweat going down this bald guy's head and he gets shot in the head. Yeah. That's how I felt. Sweat moment. I was like, oh my God. I'm done for. And I'm standing there and the guy, kind of a hot guy actually doing the x-ray stuff. He was like, ma'am. And I looked at him. He was like, go, you're free to go. I was like, thank you. And I grabbed, I couldn't believe that the books threw me off the scent. It's the books.
That is wild.
Isn't that funny? And so he was like, ma'am, And I was like in a zone, you know. He went, "You can go." He was nice. He was like, "You can go." I was like, "Oh," very casually, like, "Well, of course I can go. I've done nothing wrong." Me go, you gotcha, you betcha. Grabbed my stuff, and I couldn't believe it. I was so sure that I was gonna get fucked. It's not even a joke. So
yeah,
I was like celebrating, and then
oh, that's scary.
Oh my god! But I got so lucky. Whatever happened with her books? I don't know. Maybe she bought some, even though, like, how much is the most expensive book at, you know, Rizzoli? Like $500? I mean.
No, no, no. There's a new book. I don't know if it's Rizzoli. There's a new Stanley Kubrick, The Shining book that people are talking about because it's $2,500.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's
so
more than my computer cost.
That, yeah. Exactly. Anyway.
She would have that. Wait, if they were just scanning people's bags to look for the Stanley Kubrick book on the off chance,
she could have had like $100,000 worth of.
Yeah, she's like, 10, I like to read. I was like, sure you do, ma'am. Follow me. She left. I couldn't get over it. Anyway, so then I was in a great mood. So I came home and immediately passed out. I had to lug my shit up. I just realized the word luggage is because you are lugging it all over. It never occurred to me. Honey, yeah, I lugged 3 massive guys up my steps, got into my apartment. I took my pants off. I did not even change my t-shirt. I immediately, because I didn't sleep all night. Now it's like 9:30, 10 a.m. Laid down on my bed. I slept for 6 hours. I woke up so relaxed, like in such a good mood because I rested. And I had dinner. Nice. A friend of mine from New York, now from LA, was here. So that was like the one night we could get dinner. So we went out for dinner last night, which was nice. And then I was like, oh, I'm never going to sleep because I was slept all day. You know, it's never going to happen. So I took a melatonin and was, you know, did my Wordle. And then at around probably 12:15, 12:30, eyes closed in bed. I wake up, it's pitch black outside. And I thought, and you know, it's like the worst feeling because I'm like, oh, it's probably 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm never going to be able to go back to bed because I already slept, you know, and my whole day is fucked. I look at my phone. It was 8:15 in the morning.
Oh, the that's sun, nice.
It's nice, but the sun doesn't rise in the winter here until 9 o'clock. And then when it does, it's so gray out. There is no light here. I don't know what I'm doing here. I've been here 24 hours and I have deep seasonal affective disorder. I'm like depressed. What have I done, Dan?
That is funny. Like I do remember being in London like around December, around this time of year, and just sleeping literally all day, like wasting the whole trip because it's so gray, it's so dark, and like you feel tired or whatever. There's nothing that will get you up. It's amazing.
It really was. And then weirdly, and I don't know why this is, maybe like some scientists who listen can weigh in, time moved really slowly. Then I woke up, like I watched Housewives, I had a little breakfast, got ready, I did my makeup and everything, and it was only like 2 hours later. I don't know how to explain it, but time stopped moving. Usually that process would take 4 hours for me and it took 2. And I went out, and if you're wondering if I went to TJ Maxx here, yes, I did. And I don't regret it at all. I have no life. So that's what I did. I leave tomorrow. I go to Paris. I know I'm unbearable, but
ooh, fun.
Yeah, just for 2
What's
days.
Going on in Paris?
Friends of mine, my elegant friends in Paris, are having a holiday party. So
that's fun.
Interestingly, another thing I'll mention is that when I was home, my mom keeps some of her gowns from the 1980s in the guest room closet, which is filled to the brim with shit. And then she gets mad at me because I leave everything in my suitcase. I go, well, where would you like me to put it? From the ceiling? There's nowhere to put anything. But anyway, I found one of her dresses, a black dress from like the 80s with a poofy kind of skirt, and it's vintage. Oh, yeah. And it looks vintage, fits me perfectly. So my mom was like, you should have it and wear it to this holiday party because it really is like so glamorous and really nice. And I packed it even thinking, I'm worried that it's going to be a little bit, I don't want to look out of style or, you know, old fashioned or anything.
Yeah, but
it looks,
still,
it's killer. And let me tell you that today when I was doing I didn't really buy anything, but I did my shopping rounds just to see like what was cooking. That style dress is at Zara. It's at H&M. It's all over.
It's
crazy. So it will be worn at this party.
Killer.
I'm excited.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like really
that's
excited
really
about
exciting.
Fun tights. Yeah, I don't know. So I love a holiday moment. It's the only holiday party I've been invited to. So shame on everyone. But yeah, I'm excited. Except for the one in the breastfeeding pod. That one, I'm running that one. That's happening JFK come January. I couldn't get a slot. So yeah, that's everything. What's new with you? How's life?
Good. I'm going to this Madonna concert tomorrow night.
Oh, wow.
And I'm having trouble. I ordered tickets in January on StubHub, and I'm having trouble like finding the tickets. Apparently, like, you have Gmail, I guess. Like, do you pay for extra storage on Gmail? Like,
I might. I do not. I actually might.
It's $2 a month. I don't want to do it. So yeah. It's biting me in the ass because they're saying, we sent you the tickets like in June and they bounced back.
Oh, no.
Because your storage was full. And so now I have to like track them down. It's already been like 2 or 3 hours on the phone, but hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll be.
Wow. Honestly, yeah. I just give my money to anybody. I shouldn't probably say that publicly, but yeah, everyone, I pay for delivery services in America that I haven't used in a year. And it's like every time I call to cancel it, I can't. It is a racket.
No, I just found out that I'm still paying Shopify for the Mask Motel.
Stop.
Store. My invention from COVID. Yeah.
How is that going? Have you sold any recently?
No, I can't even log in. It's like everything is like, but I'm still paying them $10 a month to maintain this. I don't know.
I'm paying DoorDash, these fucks at DoorDash, also $10 a month. Mm. And I get the email every month from my credit card company going $9.99 for DoorDash. And I've like contested it before. So you would think, why can't I ban it? But no one cares about this. Wait, can I bring something up?
Yeah.
I have to bring something up because I won't badmouth this person. I certainly won't because there's nothing bad to say about it. But I will just ask if you've seen the clip that is now going viral of Drew Barrymore holding Oprah Winfrey's hand.
No.
Okay. There is, you know, Drew is like sweeter than sugar. She's a pure entity. She's sweet. She's so, so nice. I've done her show before. She's just a ball of positivity. I'm going to use myself in this example, and I'm not Oprah. Which is that I'm such a touchy-feely person. Like, it's not my personality, really. I'm not someone who, like, rubs your back. I don't give massages or accept. You know what I mean? Like, that isn't my personality. I'm affectionate. I can be affectionate when it calls for it. But I'm not someone who's just going to, like, touch you or rub you. It's just not who I am. And I don't like it either. I don't know about you.
No, I don't. Like, and I just pulled this up. This is, like, sleepover cuddle. Puddle kind of thing. It's disgusting.
Well, here's the thing is that the energy on her show, which I have friends who work on the show. Some of my friends, actually, Dan, our mutual friend, quit after the writer's strike, which I thought was kind of spicy. But, you know, Drew's entire thing is it's a sleepover. You know, she's very weird on it, which I think is authentic to her. I'm not sure if it's 100% her at all times, you know, or if it's maybe she's playing it up a little bit for the show. Because sometimes, you know, she'll crawl on her knees towards her guests, which for me is just, I don't know what I do. I think if someone just crawled on their knees toward me on television, I honestly don't know. I don't know how I'd react. I'd be like, please get up. Please, we're being filmed. Stop. But again, that's what makes her show. You know, that's what's getting people watching because it's always like, what's
exactly
to do? So anyway,
that's why we've
there.
Heard of it. Yeah.
Exactly. So Oprah's sitting there and Drew reaches over for Oprah's hand. And now I don't know Oprah personally. I've met Gail a handful of times. I can't picture Oprah being someone just at her level of fame and also just her level of success and what she's done in her life. Who's like easy to touch, you know, because people probably always want to touch her. Like any big celebrity where they have, I think, like a Barbara Streisand is a good example. I think they have much stricter boundaries than just a normal person. Like, don't touch them. That's it.
Yeah. You have millions of people that feel very close to you and want to give you a hug constantly. Like, I'm sure.
I'm watching Drew. Yeah. She's sitting next to Oprah. By the way, Oprah, turning 70 soon, has never looked better. I'm sorry. She looks unbelievable. I don't care how she's doing it. People who are mad about how she's, let me tell you, she's the richest woman on the planet. It's a miracle she's not using the blood of children to lose weight. Like, however she's doing it, let her do it. It doesn't matter. She's looking great. And Drew reaches over and grabs Oprah's hand, and you can feel it. I mean, you can feel it. You can feel Oprah's spine tingle. And you can feel, at least for me, it's one of the most visceral reactions I've ever had to seeing something on like my laptop of just, oh, we're okay. I gotta go. I gotta do this because, all right. And just Oprah agrees and holds her hand. And in this still, I'm on TMZ. Drew has Oprah's arm almost in like a headlock. She's like in an elbow lock with her arm. Are you looking at this picture? She's sitting with her feet on the white sofa. And Oprah is there, and you can just see in Oprah's face, how much longer do I have to endure this before I can move on? Because she's promoting The Color Purple, which I cannot wait to see. I'm so excited. Fun.
Yeah, I just saw the preview.
Oh my God. I'm actually like nervous for myself because I know I'm going to cry. And knowing I'm going to cry is another scary sensation for me. Like going into something knowing I'm going to be emotional is not easy for me. But that Fantasia Marina.
We saw
Marina,
that together, remember? Yeah.
Oh, we did. Broadway show. Went to the musical.
Yeah. It was great. You did the Q&A afterwards.
Yes.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was fantastic.
That was so much fun. Oh, my God. Yeah. I forgot about that Q&A. Oh, that was such a great time. Remember when I used to do things like that? God, life used to be grand. Anyway, all I'm saying is, listener, do you think that it is normal to hold the hand of a guest on a talk show? I feel for Oprah. It's hard to feel for the richest, most successful woman on the planet because Oprah is like next level. She's like Jeff Bezos, you know, you name it. She's a one named like a Cher. And yet I felt bad for Oprah. I'm going, oh.
Her fingers are like intertwined into Oprah's fingers. Like she could not be more wrapped around her like a python.
There's a dog on the set. I see that leg there. Yeah, it's anything goes there, you know. Look, and I think it's great. I really do adore her. I just feel like hopefully she can laugh about this situation, because if she can't laugh about it, but like, you know, it's also a question. I'm gonna just put this out there. While we're on the subject of boundaries, and we're in a very boundary happy society at the moment, which is a good thing. But I just do feel like that crossed a boundary. I really feel that. And I feel like Drew should kind of know better than that. Not everybody wants to engage with that with you. You know, not everyone wants to be touched by you because, yes, for some people, it will make them feel more relaxed. I know for me, it would not make me feel more relaxed. It would make me feel tense.
I don't think you need to relax, Oprah, like for being on a talk show. Like, let me prep you. Like,
it's intimate. It's like actually an intimate thing. It's one thing if you want to hug her or like put a hand, but to intertwine your fingers with hers, I don't know. I'm really not a fan. I'm sorry, Drew. I love you. But it says even Oprah needs some comforting now and then. She says he was totally down for Drew Barrymore's caressing. Even if fans were cringing. Oh my God.
She is rubbing her whole arm. Like, this is...
Wait, I gotta watch it again. Hold on. Okay, so here's Drew. Drew's cheering. She's hugging Oprah, really jiggling Oprah. I'm sorry to say it, but I wouldn't like that hug, starting with that.
Yeah.
Hold on. So yeah, there's a dog on the set. And Drew is... Oh, the hand holding has already happened. Wait, I gotta rewind. Okay, they're hugging again. Drew's adorable. I think Drew might be crying. All right, here it comes. Oh, Drew grabs Oprah's hand. Now she's rubbing her arm and they're intertwined. I'm sorry. What is this, Dan?
It's just like stroking. I don't know. It's
now Drew is putting Oprah's hand to her face while stroking and petting her arm. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. I don't have any words. Can I be honest? I didn't see this part. I just saw when she went for the grab. And that was that. And now Oprah's commenting on the arm stroking because it's weird. And you know what? It's creepy. What were you
she say? Has a little bit of Marianne Williamson in her when she's doing this. Like the look on her face, it's just like super hippie that cares for you and is looking directly into your soul as she like caresses your arm. It's like, ugh.
It just makes my skin want to fall off. And I think I need a minute in the breastfeeding pod because I am not feeling this. All right, so now that we got that Drew Barrymore out of the way, Dan, anything else before we get to some other news? What's cooking in your life? New York fun shows?
I actually watched like 4 episodes of The Curse in a row last night. Are you watching this?
Say it again.
The Nathan Fielder show? The Curse.
Oh,
with
no.
Nathan
How
Fielder
is
and Emma
it?
Stone. I really like it. It's great.
What's
I
the
laughed a
concept?
lot. It's a couple, Nathan Fielder and Emma Stone, who are making like an HGTV style show about helping the community in this like California community. They're basically gentrifying the community at the same time, making themselves out to be these saints. At the same time, they're buying up all the property around, just like lots and lots of property,
It's funny.
assuming that when the show becomes a hit, everybody will want a home in their neighborhood.
Sure.
It's really good. Nathan Fielder directs the first episode, and even before I knew that, I was like, this is really well directed and weird.
Wow.
I love it.
I'm seeing, I need to watch it. I'm just going through the news, and there's like really a lot to take in. Britney Spears's dad got his leg amputated. Pardon? It was amputated 7 weeks ago. But does it say why
Okay.
it happened? I mean, that's just, am I crazy? Yeah, look at this. Oh, goodness me. He's going to get a prosthetic. They got a lot of problems, those
Okay.
Spearses, huh? I mean, if it's not amputation, addiction, there's always something going on. Now, George Santos, he's a tough one for me because I know that everyone found him funny when he was in Congress. You know, his antics made people laugh. Part of it I got. I understood why he was funny, obviously, but at the heart of it, I really do think he's like a delusional liar monster.
Yeah, he's a scumbag. Like, he's stolen money from people and like done horrible things,
So
as
anyway,
well
he's
as
on.
being funny.
Well, I don't think he's actually naturally funny. I think that people are finding that funny, which is upsetting. But he is making $80,000 a day on Cameo. But now that's from him. But he's the one saying that. So how are we to believe that that's in fact true? How much is he charging? Look at him with this. Also, men out there, when you can't properly fit into a blazer, don't button the shit, please. Just don't button the shit. Why is he buttoning it? Wow, he's charging $500 a pop for a Cameo. That is crazy talk. Should I bump mine up? You know, I feel bad because I was supposed to film some with my mom when I was in Miami. We got a few out, and then she was sick like the entire time I was there. She wasn't feeling well, which was kind of depressing. So that never happened. And now, you know, now I'm afraid to open the app at all because I feel like I let so many people down.
It's
Stressful.
complaints,
I need just complaints. Like, oh, anyway, I'll reach out to everyone to apologize. I'm sorry. If you booked one, I'll do them myself, but I'm not sure that's going to cut it for some people. So we'll see. But $500, Dan,
Yeah,
crazy
he's
talk.
charging $500, but doesn't Cameo make like so much money off of these?
So much money. So much. And then Apple also makes a lot of money because, you know, by the way, I don't think people realize when they pay for things through apps or through Apple takes 30%, which is crazy. So when people book a Cameo with me through Apple, I get 30% less money. It doesn't make a difference to them, but it does make a difference to me. It's like,
Yeah, exactly.
what? I
Average
recommend
video
Cameo.
length, 33 seconds.
I could take a note from that. You know, mine are like four. I do Criterion Collection cameos. Mine are so long. I'm like, oh, I need to start editing my shit down because if I have a lot of them waiting for, that's the other thing is that when I let them like pile up and they're only good for 4 days, I open the app and I'm like, come on, this is 9 hours now. I have to sit here and do these. But that's on
That's our
me. That's
material.
because of me. That's because I'm sick. Oh boy. Oh my God. There's a karaoke machine in the Macy's Christmas window. Finally, a moment for my real career to take off. I need to come back. How is New York these days? How's the Christmas season looking there, Dan?
It's good. It's cute. The weather, it's still in the 60s, so not much going on. I went to a Christmas party this weekend. That was nice.
So I asked on Instagram, this was yesterday. Hunter McGrady, a friend of mine, the model, she's sweet as sugar, lover. She did an Instagram story saying, give us your worst Christmas and holiday gifts ever. Because if you recall, my brother sent me sushi socks for Hanukkah, and that caused a big rift in the family. And I think I gave you the update, which is that I guilted him into a $400 Apple credit. Did I tell you that?
Oh, that's where the laptop came from.
That's what, well, the laptop also came. I was going to buy one anyway, but yes, it did
Oh,
help with
okay.
the purchase of my laptop. Just so people
Nice.
know, I did not ask for that much money. It was shocking. We laughed. My mom was like, we extorted him for money. I said, we did. I didn't expect that much, but if my brother is hearing this, I thank you. But yeah, I was saying, what are some bad gifts? Dan, do you have any like really bad holiday gifts?
I don't think so. I think like, if somebody's gonna actually give me a gift, I don't get them regularly. Like I don't get like everybody has to give me a gift. So when I do get a gift, it's actually pretty good.
Well, I'm gonna get into some bad gifts that people wrote back. Okay, Diana said that she got a microwave plate cover from her mother-in-law. I like that gift because it's shady enough where she knows that you're not actually cooking. It's like, oh, what does this bitch need? A microwave cover.
So you have a dirty microwave.
Just a filthy, dirty microwave. Then we have here that someone got a large sleep shirt with my star sign on it. Now, if your star sign is mine, which is Cancer, that's extra bad. Because every time I see Cancer merchandise, I go, why? Why, God? Why me? Funny story is that my great aunt on my dad's side, who's 87 years old, still alive, cannot stand her. Cannot stand her. I hope my dad hears this, by the way. She's horrible. I haven't spoken to her in years. In fact, one day when I was home, I heard she has like a horrible voice and I heard it coming from the kitchen. And it was like the little boy in The Shining. I just was like, oh, that voice. Like I hadn't heard it in such a long time. But when I was young, I was visiting my family in the Middle East. I won't say the country because I don't want you to come for my throat. And she brought to the house a nightgown for me. And Dan, I was probably like 12. That yeah. I think would have cooled around Norbit. I think that it would have been too large for Jiminy Glick, would have looked like real skinny in it. It was huge. And I know that they brought it. And I'm sorry, there is a fat shaming element when you buy, especially a child, something that is like a size 5X. From family that has also constantly gone out of their way to put your weight down, which they always had. For those who are listening, we're going to move to part two of the podcast. And if you're wondering what's coming up, we're going to be talking about, well, first of all, we have a New York Post article, the most unwanted gifts that people receive are revealed. I can't wait to hear about those. We also are going to be talking about a guy who's almost 7 feet tall, who, by the way, is like hot. And he talks about the most difficult challenges of being that tall, says, including dating. Okay, we've not met. So we'll get to that. But we have also some other fun articles coming up and we'll do advice as always. So just head over to patreon.com/mishcall, patreon.com/MICHCOLL. You can sign up for a free trial to hear the rest of the episode and sign up to hear shows every single day. We do daily shows here with hilarious co-hosts. There's really not a bad episode. And if I'm saying that, because you know I'm hard on myself, then you know it's true. We'll see you over there. And that's the episode. We hope you loved it. Again, if you want to hear this show every single day, go to www.patreon.com/mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. You can also follow me on Instagram, X, TikTok, all the things. Mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. I'm running myself into the ground for content, and I want you to be a part of it. So we'll see you over there. And thanks again for joining us. Bye, guys.